cool the silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a cold of silence and it can't go on.
Hi folks, I am Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on September the 22nd, 2009. For newcomers, I always suggest you look into cuttingthroughthematrix.com website and you'll have quite a time downloading hundreds of talks I've given in the past where I try to fill in a lot of the blank pieces of history and let you know what's really going on and to show you that the world in the future is always planned by those who own the present. And the same characters, of course, controlled and owned the past as well, because money rules the world. And those in money and high finance and high positions of interbreeding done through generations don't let it go. They don't let it out of their hands. They don't share it. But they do have a plan, and the plan is not terribly nice. And it's all about population reduction to a planned society, which they, of course, will have managed for them by their front men, basically. That's what it's simply all about. So I give you a lot of the data from the big boys themselves. I don't use a speculation. I use the stuff that's put out by themselves in their own biographies and in their own magazines and in their own publications. That's the best source of information. You don't have to go into conspiracy. You're just going to go into the United Nations, for instance, look at who founded it, the people who staffed it from the beginning, even when it was called the League of Nations, and you go on from there. It all comes together, and they're all basically connected. All these people are connected at all times, down through time, basically. You can also see on the front page of cuttingthroughmatrix.com all the other sites I have. Bookmark them for future use because I do get problems with the main servers. They never figure out what's wrong. After about 2 weeks of having me down, they just suddenly fix it and they can't explain what happened. It's just one of these things that happens all the time to me. And it's the same thing with, as I say, even the satellite server, ExploreNet. They have me on what they call a lock. So if I try to upload what they claim is too much, they simply stop me from uploading, and it goes dead. And I had another argument with them last night. You wouldn't believe what goes on here. And they admitted again, oh, you're using too much bandwidth. I said, well, you never had this explained when I signed on with them. It's bad for business to admit, you see, they've actually got you on a lock. You're automatically just cut off. So for all the potential customers out there, just to let you know that this is the reality of ExploreNet. They'll dangle you. They'll have you fixing your satellite and costing hundreds of dollars before they'll admit they've actually got you on a lock in a computer. Supposedly, once your name's put into it, just cut you off as soon as you start uploading. So I get about 5-10 minutes per night of not the half the speed to the claim that they give you, and then it just goes down to dial-up speed. Then you've got to restart the computer again. And that clocks on with another number, and then you've got another few minutes of half-decent speed, and then down you go again. This is constant with them, constant with ExploreNet. But it's big business, and rather than increase the bandwidth for their customers as they bring on new customers, they just cut down the existing customers' usage. That's what they do for profit. Just let them know what happens. And also, too, remember, you bring me to you, you're the listeners. I'm not funded by anybody. I'm not promoted by anybody. This is not a career. And believe you me, it's 7 days a week from morning till night. And the only reason I'm doing it is because it's a must be to share this information as we go through the greatest changes and the culmination of a plan that was set an awful long time ago, down on paper, and put into action long before we were born. Although we certainly are going through the very fast-paced changes. They've been incremental, very Fabian up till now. Now they're dashing ahead like crazy. And since 2001, that was the kickoff for all the changes. We're living through it. Back in a moment after these messages.
This is RVM. The Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hi, folks. I am Alan Watt with Cutting Through the Matrix. And just before the break, I was mentioning that you, the listeners, keep me going. Go into the website, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, and you'll see ways which you can help me out. You can donate through PayPal or personal check within the U.S. and Canada, or purchase that which I have for sale on the website, the books and so on. And overseas, you can use Western Union, MoneyGram, and some people just send the cash to cut out the guy with the triple chins. And that always gets through. So it's up to you to keep me going. I'm not funded by any big corporation. I'm not selling any particular items in commerce. And I'm not backed, as I say, by any foundations. I'm selling out for a career. We're going through the greatest changes that ever happened on this planet. And if you looked at all the changes we've had, this shock therapy, shock and awe. We have first heard that, remember, from Rumsfeld in about 2001. And then again, when he came into Iraq, he used the term again, shock and awe, your enemy. Well, you're seeing shock and awe used across the whole planet now to bring in an agenda that's very old. It was on the go and discussed, at least in present format form, for the League of Nations at the end of World War One, to bring in a global society, a planned society, where people will literally live in a collectivist fashion and serve their masters, those who are eugenically superior, intellectually superior, according to themselves at least, and they'll run the world the way it's supposed to be run. That's as simple as that. But meanwhile, being human, you see, they must convince the humans, the people, I should say, don't call us humans at the bottom, that we are the problem. And they do it through education, through fictional work, novels and movies, lots of science fiction movies out there of scary scenarios. And every year they have their main meetings for the United Nations. The United Nations is the front organization to bring in this whole global greening, blah, blah, blah agenda. Everything, in fact, goes through the United Nations. That's what it was set up to do. And every leader of every country that signed the agreement in 1946, I think it was, in San Francisco, onto the United Nations, sold out their countries right there. That we haven't had nations since then. Except when they want you to go to war, then they wave the flags to finish off the process of standardizing the world. Then it's okay, but then you're back to globalization again as soon as it's over. Shock and awe. Shock and awe. Now, the Copenhagen Agreement is part of the United Nations again to further this world government, with all financial sectors dealing directly with the International Monetary Fund, a private organization, mind you, International Monetary Fund. It's destroyed more countries than you can ever imagine, especially the third world, through massive loans with massive interest rates and all that kind of thing. No one could never pay it back. It's a weapon. It's a tool. But it was set up to be the manager of all the finances of the entire planet. That was its function. And John Maynard Keynes talked about it. Part one, he said, and part two. Part two will come after he's dead. He said that. About 50 years down the road. Well, here we are, 50 years down the road. And after the Bretton Woods Agreement. And bingo, it just happens like clockwork because it's an agenda. It's a plan. And these guys, like any long-range business plans, stick to their dates and their timing. 2001 was to kick it all off. And we've been shock and awed almost to death. And yet they're only warming up now. Now, I've read before when each time this Copenhagen meeting for the environment comes along, they admit themselves after the event that they try and terrify the public of the world with the most scary scenarios. That's what their own words use, scary scenarios. And here they are again at it because there's one coming up. So we're seeing all over the media massive scary scenarios, and the Royal Society is even in on the act now. They're a Masonic scientific organization that runs the world sciences, basically. That's how they were founded and given a royal charter to exist. I've gone through their beginnings before. Here's an article here. It's from the Guardian, from the Observer, and it says, countdown to Copenhagen. Now, remember, they admit they use terror on the public. And the title, the headline here is UN Plans Shock Therapy for World Leaders on Environment. Now, that's rubbish because, you see, all the world leaders are Fabians and they're all in on the act. They were picked to be the leaders, not by the public. And they're all only too willing to go along. That is their agenda. This is on the public, the terror. Pared down summit will force heads of rich states, as we're all broke, right, to listen to those of third world in hope of kickstarting radical action, it says, 20th of September 2009. And this is by Suzanne Goldenberg, who's finding herself a cushy job as an environment correspondent. They all have environmental correspondents now with little green logos, eh? Just before I read the article, I'll mention how things go in business for greening. Staples is where I sometimes go for stationery and stuff. And they had this massive sign up there saying, we're going green. Staples is going green. And I thought, what do you mean you're going green? Well, I found out because the little discs that you get, the little covers you put on the disc, the paper discs, the little paper ones you put on the, your CD and disc, etc., have been changed to half their thickness. They're like tissue paper, the same price. That's what they mean by going green. You know, massive profits all round for them and a real hassle for you as you try to stick these things on with a print onto a CD. That's what they mean by going. Everything about it is a big con. Everything. And it says the United Nations. The United Nations is planning a form of diplomatic shock therapy for world leaders this week in hope of injecting badly needed urgency into negotiations for a climate change treaty. It needs to be global warming, but that kind of failed, so it's just changes in the weather. It says, it is now widely acknowledged are dangerously adrift. The treaty's dangerously adrift. Oh, danger, danger. UN Chief Ban Ki-moon, where did they get these guys? And negotiators say that unless they can convert world leaders into committed advocates of radical action, and you better believe they mean this, radical action means we are going to get forced through radical action. It will be very hard to reach a credible and enforceable, right, agreement to avoid the most devastating consequences of climate change, changes in the weather. As a digital counter ticking off the hours to the Copenhagen summit, which has been supposed to seal the deal on climate change, hit 77 days today, progress at the UN summit in New York is seen as vital. I wish they'd simply give it its own island and float it off somewhere, that UN in New York there. Quite the history. Go into who gave them the land and what the land was used for before they built the towers there for the UN buildings. Talk about the occult. It's all there. It says here, nearly 100 heads of state and government are to attend the summit for which a pared-down format has been devised. I guess that's in simple speak. We need these leaders to go outside their usual comfort zone, said one diplomat, we don't even get their names. Our sense is that leaders have got a little too cozy and comfortable. They really have to hear from countries that are vulnerable and suffering. Then he goes on and on and on. It mentions Al Gore, that shared the Peace Prize with Rajendra Puchori, head of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. These are the guys who have been given the duty of enforcing the idea that the Club of Rome came up with to control the world, under saving the environment and the world, we're going to take all your rights away and tell you how to live and breed and what to eat and all the rest of it. That's what it's all about. Quite something. Commenting on the leaders attending the G20 summit in Pittsburgh next week, see how they all time things to come together at the same time. He said, we need to remind these people about impacts of weather changes. Some days it's raining, sometimes it's sunny. I added the last bit. The fact that they're inequitable and fall very heavily on some of the poorest people in the world, we are likely to see a large number of failed states if we don't act in time, they say. Now, the IMF, as I say, was never set up to help the poor. They've devastated most of the countries. South Africa went through into democracy and out the other side, just like that, when they found out it didn't exist. And that the big international corporations had the same deals going with the same boys at the top. And they're as poor as ever. The International Monetary Fund that gives out these massive loans and forces them into what they call chemical farming, when they must buy all the chemicals to keep the soil going and grow the veggies. And before you know it, they cannot pay it all back because of the massive interest rates. Then in comes the IMF and runs their country for them. That's how it works. That's how it works. You know, when Maggie Thatcher was in, it was declared after she was out of government that most of the time the IMF had been running Britain because it owed so much money and couldn't pay off its debt. They're the heavy boys. You send in the heavies, you see, on behalf of the bankers. And every country's agreed that you must do what IMF says. But this is, again, here you're shock and awe, your typical shock and awe, and you're going to get awful, terrifying scenarios pushed at you until this is, we go through this Copenhagen Agreement again and ratify the radical changes that they have to put through to make sure that we all follow. Because we're all going to get taxed individually for the carbon outputs that it takes for everything that you buy. Do you know how much it costs to make that donut? Do you know how much that cost, how much energy went into making that donut? And you're going to pay and pay for that donut. If you think there's a hole in the donut, that's going to be a hole in your wallet. Believe you me, this is the most incredible form of slavery. I always think of slavery because one of their boys, you see, was, apart from the whole Darwin line, was Charles Galton Darwin in the 1950s. He wrote a book called The Next Million Years, outlining the whole eugenics plan for the whole world and the drastic depopulation plan they'd have to enforce somehow. Either putting stuff in their food to kill them off, injecting them with it, or putting it in their water even, making them sterile. And he talked on behalf of all the elite, you see, who already ruled the world. And he said in this book, there has always existed slavery in one form or another. We're simply creating a new, more sophisticated form of slavery. Well, guess what? You're seeing it being implemented right now. Back with more after this break.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watts and we're cutting through the matrix. Now whenever you see all the media in different countries get on board with the same propaganda, and that's what it is propaganda, you see, then you know it's all coordinated. All coordinated. And even some of the ones that seem to come out on behalf of the people and shoot up there, then end up doing this strange curve, you know, and coming around as well. Here's Breitbart. Breitbart, who said a lot of good stuff in the past. And here he is, basically just putting out a UN propaganda release. And this is from September the 21st. Unchecked population growth is speeding climate change, damaging life-nurturing ecosystems, and dooming many countries to poverty, experts concluded in a conference report released Monday. Remember what Lord Bertrand Russell said, we'll train the public to listen to experts. You know, he names now just experts say. It's all been done. We've lived through it. It's been done. Unless birth rates are lowered sharply through voluntary family planning programs and easy access to contraceptives, the tally of humans on Earth could swell, and then it could not, right? It could swell to an unsustainable 11 billion by 2050, they warned. You're the unknown they. The UN currently, the United Nations again, you see, currently projects that global populations will rise from 6.8 billion today to between 8 and 10.5 billion by mid-century. It could, you see, or it will. But where's their data for it? The researchers said that with 1.5 million more humans climbing aboard the planet every week, our recipe is looming for ecological overload, famine, and broken states. Now, remember that last article I read, the first article, how they give you shock and awe, and they admit it after the conferences, that they grossly exaggerate everything to terrify the public in going along. So this is what all this stuff is. Then this goes on and on. This particular article here mentions different characters involved in this present UN hype. And it says, continued rapid population growth in many of the least developed countries could lead to hunger, failure of education, and conflict, said Malcolm Potts at the University of California in Berkeley, which hosted the conference in February. The paper is authored by 42 specialists in environmental science, economics and demography, are published by, and here you go, the Royal Society, Britain's de facto Academy of Sciences. See, anybody who's made it to the top in science at all, been pushed up there, has to be a member of the Royal Society. Interesting history, I say, occultic history. Francis Bacon joined it. Others joined. You had to, if you were married, you couldn't be married. You had to put away your wife and family, disassociate yourself to become a brother. There's a Masonic organization, you see. They guide the world. After all, if you only have progress, you must guide which direction you're going in, right? That's why all your tax money went into creating the pill. The pill, the birth control pill, because they tried the music, they tried the drugs, they tried the booze, the miniskirts in the 1920s, the roaring 20s, but the fallout was incredible. It had all these unwanted pregnancies and orphanages springing up all over the place. Take care of it all. So they went back to the drawing board, use your tax money, and put it all into guiding the sciences along one path to create a birth control pill. Then they came back with the 60s, miniskirts again, drugs, booze, and rock and roll. Ha, simple, isn't it? And you think it's all coincidence. It says here, there's no doubt that the current rate of human population growth is unsustainable. It's the unsustainable, summarized Roger Short, a professor at the University of Melbourne in Australia. Then they go on and on and on, and then they give you their targets. See, don't be put off either by their targets. They mean across the whole planet. They hit Africa. They blame Africa. 98% of the expected population growth will occur in developing countries, especially in Africa, where numbers are set to double to almost 2 billion by 2050. How Niger is going to feed a population growth from 11 million today to 50 million in 2050 in a semi-arid country that may be facing adverse climate change, adverse weather, is unclear, said Adair Turner. I want to say in relations to TED, a member of Britain's House of Lords. The population of Uganda was 5 million in 1950, is 25 million today, and could reach 127 million by 2050, Turner said. They don't tell you that between all that time, millions of people moved into Uganda, and then when Idi Amin was in, millions moved out, and then millions moved all back in again. They're always having trouble in Africa and moving the people. But again, they don't tell you these little things, do they? Concern about population growth is not new. No, I mean, Kissinger passed that bill when he was in. He really ran the government when Nixon was in. And Kissinger put out that bill where he said that the greatest enemy to the state, and he meant the world too, was overpopulation. And he went into action to find ways to bring down the third world. They had a list of all the third world countries they'd have to bring down in population. There is a big agenda at work here, but it's not just the third world, so don't fall asleep back home. You mean all of you, too. You know, all of you with junk genes, the ones who haven't quite made it and backstabbed your way up to the top and brown-nosed your way and so on. You're all junk genes. That's what they mean by that. And even in this article, praised Thomas Malthus, the liar, who in 1798, when Earth was home to about 1 billion, how would they know? They didn't take the census there. In fact, you know, the first census in Britain and the UK wasn't taken until 2 years after Malthus published his paper. Doesn't mention that here. They just picked numbers out of the air. And Malthus's job, working for the British government, was to make sure the plantations had enough slaves, but not too fit and not too bright, by using their diets, restricting them. Back with more after this break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
This is cutting through the matrix. We're cutting through all the nonsense they give us for a supposed reality, you know, the fake reality, the one that the media gives you with American Idol and all the junk that they feed you constantly to keep you involved in trivia and to really, you're subconsciously being trained that you're being governed. You see, it's called governance. and you've not to be involved in deciding anything for yourself anymore. Any major things that happen in life, you leave it to the big boys above you, these faceless people and often nameless people, except for the few that they give you to prattle on about. But allow it them, the experts, to deal with all the big things, and your job is to obey. That's the new governance. That's what they mean by governance. The Club of Rome said democracy was just too untidy. They couldn't get their agenda through with all these competing factions and people with rights and all that kind of stuff. So they'd have to do in a different way, post-democratic, they call it governance, training the public to accept they're being governed by a better class of people. Simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. And a long time ago, as I say, before you were born, they set up these organizations. And they even said in the Club of Rome, it's all part of the big conglomerate of foundations that deal with philanthropy on behalf of the big global bankers. In other words, it's a parallel government to get their agenda through under the guise of helping people. They help you by taking all your rights away, but they give you peace and safety. Very old trick. The United Nations, this is from March 27, UN climate change plan would likely shift trillions of dollars to form a new world economy. March 27, as I say, 2009. A United Nations document on climate change that will be distributed to a major environmental conclave. Now, do we get invited to these conclaves? You see, these are non-governmental organizations, most of them. That's how the big parallel government runs the world, through NGOs, financed, well-financed, from the big foundations. This conclave next week envisions a huge reordering of the world economy, likely involving trillions of dollars in wealth transfer, the transfer of wealth. Remember, that's part of one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto. Who funded the communists in existence? The international bankers did. That's just fact. Read your histories. It says millions of job losses and gains, new taxes, industrial relocations, new tariffs and subsidies, and complicated payments for greenhouse gas. Of course, it's complicated because no one is supposed to understand it because it's bogus. So greenhouse gas abatement schemes and carbon taxes, all under the supervision of the world body, the United Nations, the organization that no population on the planet voted into existence. It is a corporation that's meant to run the world. Carl Quigley said it, remember, a new feudal system run by international corporations. That's the plan of the Council on Foreign Relations. Says here, these and other results are blandly discussed in a discreetly worded United Nations information note on potential consequences of the measures that industrialized countries will likely have to take to implement the Copenhagen Accord, the successor to the Kyoto Treaty. Now, when you're playing your trivia and all the rest of it and following Hollywood and watching American Idol, this is the stuff they're ramming through. And every law means it's binding, and you will have to follow it. And believe you me, you are going to pay for it all if you allow it all to happen. People should be taken to the streets. Massive protests like it's never been seen before in the history of the planet should be happening right now. Either that, or you're accepting that you are a slave, and silence really connotes consent, legally. It says, after it's negotiated and signed by December 2009, the Obama administration has said it supports the treaty process if, in the words of a U.S. State Department spokesman, it can come up with an effective framework for dealing with global warming. So he agrees with all this. That's why they put him in, right? The 16-page note obtained by Fox News will distribute to participants at a mammoth negotiating session that starts March 29th in Bonn, Germany, the first of three sessions intended to hammer out the actual commitments involved in the New Deal. That's a legal term, the New Deal, by the way. The first New Deal the U.S. saw was when FDR threw out the Constitution and gave you a New Deal, a new legal deal, a system. You see, government is a contract with the people and the government. It's an abstract idea which you tolerate and allow to exist as long as it deals fairly with you. That's the whole deal of government. This is a new deal. It's called governance. We say you do. It says, people don't really realize what they're reading. It's fascinating. In the stultifying language that is normal for important UN conclaves, I like how they say conclaves, the negotiators are known as the Ad Hoc Working Group on Further Commitments for Annex 1 Parties under the Kyoto Protocol. Boy, is a mouthful for you. They love this stuff. Yet the consequences of the negotiations, if enacted, would be nothing short of world-changing. Getting that deal alone has become the United Nations' highest priority. And the Bonn meeting is seen as a critical step along the path to what the UN calls an ambitious and effective international response to climate change, which is intended to culminate in a later gathering in Copenhagen, which is upcoming up now, you see. That's why with the shock and awe, like the first article I read. So we're all going into this massive slavery system. And at the same time, as I say, that they're pushing Brown, the Prime Minister of Britain, said that he's talking about a new economic world order, the G20 that's coming up. The US has just said the same thing. Here's a US one here, Monday, September the 21st, from Reuters. It says here, the United States will urge world leaders this week to launch a new push in November to rebalance the world economy. But there are, maybe that's what's given the earth the wobble as we spin, eh? But there are doubts national governments will bow to external advice. A document outlining the U.S. position ahead of the September 24th, 25th group of G20 summit meeting in Pittsburgh said exporters, which include China, Germany, Japan, should consume more, while debtor nations like the United States ought to boost savings. That means consume less. The world will face an anemic growth if adjustments in one part of the world, the global economy, are not matched by offsetting adjustments in other parts, said the document, which was obtained by Reuters on Monday. The framework drafted by U.S. policymakers, I love how they don't even need names anymore, foresaw analysis of G20 members' economic policies by the International Monetary Fund to figure out if they were consistent with better balanced growth. We call on our finance ministers to launch the new framework by November, the document said, signaling a determined effort to maintain momentum for change created by last year's global financial crisis. The United States envisages the International Monetary Fund playing a central role in a process of mutual assessment by making policy recommendations to the G20 every 6 months. The IMF is going to rule the United States. That's what they're telling you right there. And you'll have to put in a report to them every 6 months. And you have to consume less in the U.S., while other countries have to consume more to balance out all this stuff and to balance out their carbon, this invisible stuff that no one can weigh, measure, or anything else. But what a great con this is, isn't it? A fantastic con. Who'd have dreamed? Who'd have dreamed? You know, one time when they came up with indulgences in the Catholic Church, you could pay for your deceased to get to heaven a bit faster if you keep paying. They pray for you. Otherwise, you were stuck in a sort of limbo, like slow motion, not quite there on earth, not quite up there in heaven. You're kind of stuck there, like in glue. And the more prayers are said for you, the more another step towards heaven. You see, but that's where they got all this idea of carbon from. They looked at previous religions. And if people would swallow that for thousands of years, they'd swallow this one. And the new global scientists, the high priests, the white-coated, the experts, you see, that have lied consistently to us for a political agenda, have no problem with it. And they're all over the place, telling us they're BS, you see. They're bothersome stuff. But anyway, that's how they do it, you see. Non-governmental organizations, that's what governance is all about. The Soviet system was run by, on the surface, for the media, by non-governmental organizations, committees. That's what Soviet means, ruled by committees, councils. The only difference is, of course, the leaders of the NGOs are picked by the Politburo. In the U.S. are picked by the parallel government, the foundations that set them up and fund them into existence and give them pension plans and great wages and fly them all across the world. None of them are grassroots. They're part of the big agenda to enslave the entire planet and everyone on it. Except boys at the top, of course. their bosses. And then to top it all off, you've got Prince Charles, who's a great supporter of the Optimum Population Trust, another private foundation, you see, that's advising the British government on how to depopulate their country and the rest of the world. Here it comes out that this goon is a goon. Prince Charles is a goon. I can remember when they couldn't find a job for him. They said the prince without a function. Because the queen was the queen, you see. And they tried to find reasons for him to exist. So they put him into buildings for a while, architecture. And so he talked about architecture and ugly buildings and stuff like that. But now they put him into the green agenda, you see. And here he is on the Telegraph, the newspaper, the Telegraph, 22nd of September. And this is Prince Charles, the guy, I can remember when an article in the paper, but they flew his Rolls Royce across the world to attend a meeting so his chauffeur could drive him from the airport to the meeting. And how much fuel it consumed at the time, that was years ago. Here's Prince Charles urging people to abandon cars in favor of walking and use public transport. The Prince of Wales is urging people to give up their cars in favor of walking and to reduce carbon emissions. And it shows him in one of his fancy cars, and he's Aston Martin, one of his toys, you know. The prince, who has two Jaguars, two Audis, a Range Rover, and still drives an Aston Martin, given to him by the Queen on his 21st birthday, said developers had a duty to put public transport and the pedestrian at the heart of their housing schemes. Speaking about the domination of the car over the pedestrian, the future king said, well, that'll be the day. We must surely be able to organize ourselves in a way in which we are not dependent on it to such a great extent for our daily needs. You see? So there he is, this Prince Charles, you know, in on it too. All the big ones want this. I'm surprised Prince Charles didn't say, you know, we're bringing in a new feudal system with international corporations running the show. And I'd like to go back to the old days when we had all you peasants living in villages, just raising crops for us, and it was so much tidier, and you couldn't go very far because you had no transportation. Well, you see, that's what Agenda 21 at the United Nations is all about. Believe it, that's what it's all about. A new feudal system. Now, I'll go to the callers now, and there's Kendall from Atlanta there. Are you there, Kendall?
Yes, good evening, Alan.
Yes. Yes.
I just called from Atlanta, Georgia tonight to let you know about the shock and awe routine we hit down here with the weather warfare campaign down here.
Yes.
We kind of flooded out everything. I noticed that there's nothing going on at the CDC campus as well.
Yes.
No flooding there.
No flooding there. And it's interesting.
And also Dobbins Air Force Base either.
No, isn't it amazing that, eh? Here, where I am, it rained every single day, June and July, exactly as it did last year. Sub-normal temperatures. And then in California, due to governmental interference and cutting down the water supply to the farmers, now they're getting a famine because they don't get enough water. Not because it's not
water service.
It's because they've cut down the water to the farmers. Yeah.
And you can just see the targeted areas for this urban sprawl thing that, you know, they're complaining about. It's wild. You can see it's like all the poverty-stricken areas are flooded. The schools are flooded.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. And what's amazing, too, I've watched this for years. They gave the go-ahead to sell lands that are in floodplains about, 20 years ago. And
Right. Mainly
for the poorer people. And so they move into these floodplains. And guess what? The first heavy rains they get, the rivers overflow and there's flooding. This is standard. I've watched this con game for years, and they show it on the news, and then they terrify the world. We're watching this stuff saying, my God, you know, I guess the weather's... No, they didn't allow people to live on that land before because they are floodplains.
it was so systematic, too, how it happened. And in the middle of the night, all the thunder and the lightning that was just, like, man-made completely. And
yes.
Then the Chattahoochee River just overflows, and it stops the main highway called 285. It's like a loop around the whole city, and it stopped all traffic for the
yes.
whole day.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And
it
also, on the way home, I see the big King's X in the sky ready for the next flooding they're going to do this evening.
Exactly. I saw the same thing in Alberta a few years ago. They'd flooded the farmers. It actually gave them drought for about 5 years. Heavy spraying. Every article they showed you with the farmers, what you should see on the television is spraying above them, the crisscrossing in the skies. Then they gave them a massive flood with the river overflowing. And again, even in the documentary on the CBC, there's all the crisscrossing above their heads as they're discussing this flood. And the public haven't a clue. It's weather warfare. Yeah.
Exactly. They're targeting everything. And also, I watched some good predictive programming called Midsummer Murders. It's an English sitcom.
Yeah.
And it was one, it started in 1998. And one of the episodes there had a big chemtrail right there in 1998, right behind this big mansion.
That,
it was hilarious.
That's right. In 1998, definitely in most of Canada and definitely in Ontario, that was the year they started to do daily spray daily. And I remember the first day I walked out and the whole sky was covered with, there's about 20 planes in the sky. They're half the height as they are today. And it was like walking into a sci-fi set. Yeah.
Wow. And this is, they call it Southeast America, the God-fearing country, huh? I guess
yes.
They are God-fearing.
Well, that's right. We've got new gods, you see.
And one more thing, there's Bernays PR thing they're doing with the nasal spray for the flu, for the vaccine.
Yes.
They put in like the number one college football team down here in the Southeast, and the whole team on Sunday sprays their nasal thing, and that's how they're spinning that off down here.
That's true, and that's also the reason that every article you've seen for months now about this coming swine flu shot shows you at the top of the page, it always shows you an injection going into an arm to terrify you.
Oh, yeah.
And then you breathe
a
sigh of relief when, oh my God, it's so simple, it's just going to be a little whiff up my nose.
Well, thank you very much, Alan. I'll still keep the money going there.
Thanks for calling.
All right,
now, there's Steve from Chicago. You're there, Steve.
Yes, I think you know me from the Alex Jones show.
Oh, very probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, you've got the wrong construction on things. You're saying that people are dumbed down. I say it's the British-Irish insular mentality where they inbreed insanity.
Okay, we'll go on here. John from Florida. This guy hates the Celts for some reason. I just don't know why. Is John from Florida there? Hold on, John. I'll be back after this break.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt. This is Cutting Through the Matrix, and we're moving on to John from Florida. Are you there, John?
Yes, Alan. How are you doing?
Not so bad.
Hey, I just wanted to let just a comment. I saw I just finished reading a book last week by William Cooper book,
mm-hmm.
and he had an article in the back. It was a reproduction of the article,
yeah.
And it said "Big Brother's coming," and it was written in August 1st of 1989. And one of the things
that
it said,
"Behold a pale horse," was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And one of the things that it said, it was interesting because of all the swine flu stuff, and it said. Other sources say that tiny transmitters can be injected painlessly from a tiny gun in humans without even them knowing about it through a nationwide vaccination program. All the government would have to do is make up something like the swine flu vaccine.
Yeah.
And I found that interesting in there that he was talking that he was the actual article back in 89 about that.
Yes. Cooper definitely was into a lot of good stuff. He knew the agenda. There's no doubt he knew the agenda. He had his own personal problems. There's no doubt about it. But he certainly knew what the agenda was, and that's why they took him out, because he had a big following. He could motivate people into action, and that's what they didn't want.
He even talked about Bo Gripes. Like, he had a little thing about Bo Gripes.
Bo Gripes is a Mason as well.
Yeah,
and
he was basically saying, like, Bo Gripes, he's like, I don't trust this guy too much, but,
yeah.
You know, let's just see what happens, you know, and then he started talking
true.
About
Bo Gripes
about
used to be on Patriot Radio, and he would talk about when he was in the Special Forces, how many people he'd taken out on assassinations, and, you know, I mean, an assassin has no, really, doesn't fight for your country. An assassin is a hitman.
Yeah.
Mm. And here he is. With hip pocket orders, he said himself he had hip pocket orders from the Pentagon when he left, meaning he never left, running a Patriot show. And then, as I say, after 9/11, Bo Gripes was on television. They showed it in Canada here on the congressional steps, saying he was going to see the politicians. And to tell them, he says, that it was these crazy, paranoid Patriot types, he said, that were responsible for blowing up the towers. That's what he said. It says that they listen to shortwave radio Patriot stations and believe in black helicopters. This is the same guy who'd been on Patriot Radio and ran a good part of it for about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
See, they give you the heroes often, and you got to be careful. You got to be so careful, you know.
Oh, yeah. I have one last thing also that one thing I've been noticing a lot, because my wife watches TV and I don't watch it as much, but every now and then when she watches, I caught this commercial. It's a Kool-Aid commercial. And it was a part where a kid is catching a baseball in the air with his glove, and right above you see a chemtrail. I mean, it's a huge chemtrail.
Yeah.
And I've been noticing this a lot with a lot of these, especially with pharmaceutical commercials. When you watch them, you'll see chemtrails in the background all the time.
You'll also see, they even show it on news frequently in Canada. They'll show it even above Parliament building in Ottawa. They show us chemtrails. And it's to get us used to the fact that they're there and that they're just normal.
Yeah, it's funny because at least now I got my wife into, like, every time she'll call me, because she travels a lot, she'll tell me, oh, look, I saw one of your she calls it chem lines, but at least she's seeing them now.
Yes. And as I say, when you've lived long enough and you remember what condensation trails were and how long they lasted compared to these ones, and plus, you remember when these ones started after they signed the Open Skies Treaty worldwide, that then you know the difference. And these things are not condensation trails. They're definitely chemicals. The chemicals come down sometimes in blobs when it gets a cooler weather. I watched one that was about 12 feet wide come down landing a tree here. And then, like cotton candy, cotton cane, it just eventually dissolved. But thanks for calling. Yeah, we live in Disneyland, folks, and my job is to try to break through into the true reality to show you we're living literally in the massive con game, a massive con game, where a different world body runs the entire planet and will never tell you the truth of where they're taking you or why. From Hamish, myself, and Cheer Canada, it's good night, and may your God or your gods go with you.